You're listening to Hope for the Hour. Tonight we are airing a special pre-recording from a panel discussion with young adults. Pastor George is joined by the next generation as they discuss their perspective of what they see going on in the world today and the urgent need for prayer. We pray you are encouraged by this panel discussion and by the young adults' heart for the Lord and passion for prayer as they are the next generation. Join them on Main Street this coming Sunday for Call to Fall Main Street in Fitchburg. We'll be coming together as a church to intercede for our city and nation, no matter what generation, culture, or denomination. Find out more at facebook.com/Horizon Fitchburg. Now let's join this pre-recorded panel discussion.
Hey everyone, this is Pastor George Small with Horizon Christian Fellowship. Want to use this opportunity with some of my friends, some young adults that live in the North County, and to encourage you with the vision of Call to Fall. This particular vision, this prayer time that we're doing on Main Street on Fitchburg on July the 5th, 4 o'clock, believers lining Main Street, getting on their knees, is something that's also in the heart of young people, and the vision even began with young people. And so I thought, to encourage you this next week, as we consider the vision of Call to Fall, to have that generation, the younger people, younger than myself anyway, share with you their heart about prayer, about the vision of Call to Fall, encourage you. God is doing a good work. And maybe you're going to see this post on Facebook or see this video somewhere, and you're a younger person. So I especially want you to see your generation here with a heart for prayer at this time with all that is going on. So I've got a group of young people, some friends, and we're going to have a time of just discussion, and I hope it encourages you as we spend this little bit of time together. Well, I want to begin with you, Patrick. As you look at our nation and you consider what's going on in this world all around us, just in your words, looking at the world right now, what do you see as a young person?
Well, before I even get to my words, I wanted to read a couple of verses from Jeremiah that encapsulates what I think is going on. Well, Jeremiah, who was used by the Lord, in verse 12 and 13 of Jeremiah 3, "Return, faithless Israel, declares the Lord. I will frown on you no longer, for I am faithful. I will not be angry forever. Only acknowledge your guilt. You have rebelled against the Lord your God. You have scattered your favors to foreign gods under every spreading tree, and have not obeyed me, declares the Lord." And he continues to talk about returning to the Lord. So for me, you know, I think that we've had a lot going on in our nation, you know, talking pandemics, riots, all sorts of uncertainty, you know, and in every corner. I just even read about locust swarms. It's been overcoming eight to nine states in the U.S. today. I read this, and, you know, with all of these things that are happening and the controversy that we've been experiencing in the past few days, weeks, you know, I think that this is a really important, and prayer is so important. And I think that is something that I think has been missing, the faithfulness of our nation. And even spiritually, we've noticed the spiritual bankruptcy. I mean, I have as a young adult, growing up in a relatively spiritually bankrupt upbringing, you know, my parents did well, but there was no spirituality there. And I think a lot of people can relate to that in the society we've grown up with. And so I think that coming to prayer, to our knees as the body, as believers, I think it'd be a beautiful and necessary thing. And I'm sure we'll be getting into why, but I would really just start with.
Yeah, no, appreciate that, Patrick, because you quoted scriptures about returning to the Lord. Mm-hmm. So as a young person, you look around at this world, you noted all that is going on. It's obvious to all of us. At the same time, you're saying, you know, hey, we need to return. There's a spiritual need in our nation. And so as we consider where we're at, a young Christian in our world right now, a young man, you're saying we have need in this country. We have need of change, of returning to God, and getting serious with things of God, of course, prayer. And that's what we're here to talk about. We want to encourage people in prayer and this vision of Call to Fall too, which is a unique opportunity. And so, Angelina, I want to ask you a question about your generation. You know, as Patrick has spoken about what he sees, what would you say if he had the opportunity
let's say this church was filled with people of your generation and you had the opportunity to say something to them, what would you say to them?
Good question. All right. So I think I would probably start with something about maybe humility. I think that our generation is very selfish. whether it's, social media likes or, drugs or whatever it is, there's just this like very consumer-centered focus. And we don't tend to be very selfless or other-centered. And I don't think that's necessarily because of our parents. I think my parents did a great job, and I know a lot of the different parents did that, but very entitled, I think. I see that with a lot of young people, so I think I would encourage people to humble themselves before God and consider that maybe that they're not the center of the universe.
So you're looking out at your generation today because of COVID-19 and social distancing. We've got this camera set up, but we have an empty sanctuary too. And but if you were able to look out, you would say to your generation that, we've been too centered on ourselves. It's been too much about us. And we need to start thinking about a world around us and other people and, humble ourselves, less selfish. So that's, certainly a word to any generation. And, I'm George Small. I pastor the Church Horizon Christian Fellowship and have these young adults with me and wanted them just to share their hearts with you because God is doing a work right now, stirring the hearts of people in this world. It's incredible. And we have a prayer gathering that has been put upon our hearts, and it's really been birthed in the hearts of young adults, this vision for Call to Fall as we look around. And it is lining up on Main Street on Sunday, July 5th, 4 o'clock. We were going to do it last weekend, but the weather forecast caused us to change and postpone it. So now you have an opportunity to watch this video, maybe to hear about it. But we're going to be out on Main Street of Fitchburg, social distancing, lined up, and crying out to the Lord at a time like this. So speaking of prayer, Natalie, what does prayer mean to you in your personal life?
Prayer is a sense of me humbling myself before God. And it's a way where I can just sit and listen to him and have him guide me daily on my decision. So something where I depend on him daily, and we should all be depending on him daily.
So prayer is you're looking to your leader, your master, depending on him for leadership, answers. That's what you're saying. Prayer is a big part of your life, and certainly I've witnessed that. That's why you're here, just in your personal life. So prayer then in your personal life, but the church. What should the role be of prayer in the church?
Yes, we should be praying for one another mostly, praying for our children. Our children are, you see the news lately. Our world is lost and broken. And I know that in my life we have prodigal sons and daughters as well. And so we should be praying for one another, praying for revival, praying for repentance, humble and soften our heart, and really to be able to depend on God daily, and to be able to come together in unity and pray for one another, pray for the peace of Israel. So that's one thing that we can certainly do as a
so
church.
Individually, corporately as a body, as you mentioned, praying for one another, praying for the many needs that are part of a church body, praying beyond that, the walls of our church. The church, obviously, Jesus said the church should be a house of prayer.
Amen.
And all the more a house of, this churches, our homes should be places of prayer. So the power and the importance of prayer. Laura, considering prayer and considering just our nation right now, what do you hope to see in our nation as far as prayer?
I just think prayer is just a wonderful opportunity for us as Christians to come together and just fall on our knees, desperately crying out for those around us. As far as the whole world right now, everything is such a mess. It was recently talking to someone and they were noticing, how can people just not be decent anymore? How are people being so rude and so nasty to each other? And I think it was just so clear that it's the Lord is missing. if you don't know the Lord, if you don't have salvation, what is there? Why is there a reason to be good, you know? So I think prayer for people's eyes to be open, first of all, and then so that the Lord can fill us as believers to be able to reach those around us, whether you're in school, at work, your family, maybe you have family members that aren't believers, really just reaching out where the Lord has you, in the grocery store, everywhere, really. There's opportunities everywhere. And to be able to share your testimony, to be able to share his love, and just to open people's eyes.
Yeah, so prayer, individually, church, but just the body of Christ in our country. God, open the eyes of the people around us. God, you know, just to be praying for, as you mentioned, we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need revival in the church, and to be a people of God of prayer at this hour. So powerful. Brandon, city of Fitchburg. You know the city of Fitchburg. And we're one of many communities in Massachusetts. When you look at Fitchburg, what do you see?
Well, when I look at Fitchburg and when we're walking down and we're praying for the city, you know, it just, it's so concerning and it's worrying, you know, looking around and just seeing the darkness and the people walking around who are just homeless or they're hanging out in groups and they just don't have direction, you know. But it amazes me when we approach those people or they approach us, they have like this joy and happiness when we come and talk to them and show them the love of Christ. But it is scary to see the pot shops opening up and all these stores and stuff that are coming about, you know, because it's all about money, you know, and it's not about the well-being of the people in Fitchburg, the safety of Fitchburg.
Right. Yeah. So you look around, you see need, and it seems in some ways that city's going the wrong direction, as you mentioned, with the pot shops and just all the people that need around us and broken lives and about money. Yeah. Unfortunately, if you can make a dollar, well, that's good. Maybe some are going to, you know, be disenfranchised by that or harmed by that. But, hey, I can make a dollar. So unfortunate. And so the need in our city. So with as you see, look at the city, praying for the city, what's your thoughts about praying for Fitchburg? What does that mean to you?
I think praying for Fitchburg is just amazing because, you know, as we do it and we've been doing it week by week on the prayer walks, for example, and we can see the fruits of the prayer, you know, of praying for people and just the building of relationships with these people in our community. You know, like these when they see us, they recognize us and they come up and they talk to us, you know. Yep. And it's just amazing because there was such a distance between, you know, between us and these some of these people. But as we just pray for them, we get close to them, we relate to them. We can just build that connection, you know, and it opens up doors for us to talk about the Lord. And it's just so powerful seeing these people come to church or come to prayer meetings or some of the other ministries. Praying for the city is so important. And we have seen, you know, so many prayers answered, you know, like Planned Parenthood closing,
yep.
You know, so there are so many results, and there's stuff that we don't even see, you know, until months and months later, like someone coming in and saying that they heard about the church through the radio, you know, and the radio's part of Fitchburg. So it's just amazing the way the Lord works through prayer.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, please.
You know, you can go through the Bible, Old and New Testament, of examples of those who haven't prayed, they should have. Those who have prayed, and the fruit that was born from that, and the commandments to pray, you know. I mean, starting even in Exodus, you know, where the Hebrews, you know, Lord, you know, I heard the cries of my people, you know, and he heard them. It's reached my throne, you know. And that's just one of the oldest Old Testament examples of the Lord hearing the prayer of people. You know, and, you know, having a fervently praying church, I think it's a spiritual force to be reckoned with that I think has been underutilized, probably more than most aspects of the church itself. You know, I think that, you know, praying, and again, this isn't like we want to be, you know, like the Pharisees or praying out just for the sake of being seen, right? Because that's not what this is about. But I think that there's an aspect of this where, you know, for someone who doesn't know the Lord, or maybe who's been on the fence about what it's all about, you know, to see brothers and sisters coming together, regardless of their culture, their color, you know, their origins, coming together as a family is something that, if I wasn't a Christian, it would blow my mind. Mm-hmm. And that's something, and to know that when they're coming out because they want to be there. They want to be there together, and that they're seeking something infinitely larger than themselves.
Amen.
And that's what's been missing, I think, for generations.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to see come again.
Yeah. Well, it encourages me to have, you know, six young adults around me that all can have these statements about prayer, because prayer is so important. And at a time like this, prayer definitely is a great need. And, you know, even Brandon mentioning answers to prayer in our city, given specific examples as we're praying for our city, we're watching God work. And so then that leads us to the vision of Call to Fall. We want to talk to you about that. And I know the vision started with the hearts of young adults. I know Kana, especially, God ministering to her heart. And I want to give her an opportunity to share with you what's just in her heart about this vision for Call to Fall and how it came about and why.
So honestly, like, the vision for Call to Fall, it started with the Lord. He gave it, and now he's like, now even in this moment, this very moment, it's unfolding, like, right before our eyes. Like, we can see, like, God, you are doing so much more, so much greater than any one of us could have done. You know, like, any of us can make a post on Facebook and say, come to my event, but none of us can pull down strongholds in Fitchburg and in this nation. None of us can bring revival to any of our own personal hearts. We can't do, like, bring the overflow of the Spirit in our own lives. That's by God's grace. That's by God's mercy. And so we need him. And that's really the heart for Call to Fall. That's really the vision for Call to Fall. It started with seeing a video of believers in Brazil on their knees in just desperation. They had their hands, some of them had their hands lifted. Some of them were on their face weeping. They were desperate for the Lord because they realized, like, through COVID-19, that I think that's shaken the world. That's given us this perspective that there's nothing really secure anymore. We can't place our hope or our confidence in anything that's going on in our nation, any of the economy, any of our own jobs, careers, like our ambition. There's nothing secure in it. It's all shaken. It's all up in the air. These Brazilian believers knew very, like, at the very beginning, they knew, we need to go to the one that's greater than I. Like that verse, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And so I saw that video, and I saw a post from Pastor Ray Bentley in California. He had called people to do the same thing in San Diego, pray on their knees, and that event was postponed, and it just recently happened, and the Lord brought thousands. And whatever the Lord has in Fitchburg, I don't care if there's five of us, there's 10 of us, the Lord kept bringing the vision started with him, and he kept bringing it back. And I finally was like, all right, Lord, like, if this is something you want to do, what do you want it to look like? And so it's not a show. It's not any of us coming like, oh, if we pray a certain way, a certain posture, a certain amount of time, we're going to be able to see miracles in Fitchburg. Like, no, that's God's desire. That's God's will. That's God's choice. And it's his mercy. If he so chooses, he will respond. And he says, if you call on me in humility, you humble your knees, you humble your hearts before him, he will answer, and he might even heal our land. And so that's the whole vision, is that we come in desperation. Lord, lead me to the rock that's higher than I, realizing you are first and foremost higher than I. I'm nothing without you. I deserve nothing from you. So I want to come and repent. I want to repent my heart, the ways that I've fallen short. And then I want to come and ask God, would you please save? Would you please bring the lost to yourself? Would you please wake up the church? And so that's really the whole vision, is just coming, recognizing who we are before a holy God, and asking that he might act in mercy on our behalf.
So Call to Fall this Sunday, July the 5th, 4:00 in Fitchburg. Believers lining up on Main Street, different churches, social distancing, and praying at a desperate time, desperate ways, on our knees for our nation at such a time as this. We're meeting at 356 Broad Street at 3:00, and we had mentioned in the past 3:30. We moved it to 3:00 just to make sure we have enough time, but 356 Broad Street, 3:00, and come with your church, come with your friends, come alone. Bring a pad for your knees, If you know, it's comfortable for you. We've noted in the past, if you're not able to pray on your knees because you've got issues with your physical body, then stand or sit in a chair. That's fine. But when you can pray on your knees, we're going to do that. We're going to just, at this hour, with all that is going on, cry out to our God. I just recently saw in San Diego a little news feed of 16,000 people that did a very similar thing just in the last couple of weeks. 165 churches, parks, streets in San Diego, many of them on their knees, raising their hands, some sitting down, some standing, but gathering all around the city just at this hour, crying out to the Lord. We've got an election coming, so I just want to ask the question, maybe one or two of you. I'm going to ask you, Laura. But you've got politics, you know, so much involved politically right now. And then we have prayer. And what should come first, politics or prayer? Your thoughts, Laura.
I think it's so evident on Facebook and everywhere that politics always come first. And I just think we as Christians need to be so diligent about praying first. It's so easy to, I have an opinion about this. Oh, I feel really strongly about this. But what is the Lord telling us? Where is he leading us? And I think that's just important to be diligent about that first and foremost.
Yeah, I definitely think that. I think we want to vote. We want to run for office if we do. We want to be involved. But if we're not praying, we're looking to the arm of flesh. We're looking to man for the answers. And it's pretty clear man does not have the answer right now. We need just the mercy of God. And we want to be faithful politically, but we definitely want to be especially faithful in prayer. Angeline, you got a thought?
Yeah, this is something I think I'm passionate about, as you know, kind of being a member of the media in a way, working for the radio, and then also I worked at a newspaper before I worked here for the church. And you know, I think as young people, we don't recognize the power that we have, the privilege that we have to vote, and the just like that we can actually make a difference in our communities, whether it's one person running for office or it's a group of us making sure we vote and we do the due diligence. So it matters, you know, we can make a difference, but right alongside of that, it's so important that we are digging into the Word of God to know what it says about things that are so important to his heart. You know, I could list them off, but You know, on all these issues that our country is going crazy about, you know, the pandemic, what should we do? Should we wear a mask? Should we not wear a mask? There's this lack of, like, love for one another and love for, like, human dignity for other people. You know, with the riots, like, there's no place for racism in the body of Christ. There's no place for it. There's no place also for destroying people's property, you know? So I think we do have a voice and power, but we have to be completely like washing our minds with the Word of God so that we know that we have his heart for one another. And that is involved in reading the Word and praying and listening for what he says. You know, I just would hate to just see this moment pass without us truly saying, God, what do you want for our country? We want your will, and we want to be a part of that.
Yeah, I'm just reminded of that verse, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And the chaos that we're seeing and the instability and the fear, the, like, what is going to happen after this next election. And honestly, my heart goes out to the president and to whoever the next president is, because there is so much brokenness. And I'm not saying that it's a consequence that we've deliberately turned our back against the Lord, but I do know that blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. And whenever we have the lordship means like ruling over, that the Lord would govern over the affairs of men, that we would look to him because he's the God of all wisdom, all power, all authority. When he's sovereign and we're letting him be Lord over our lives, there might be things that we don't like, or we don't necessarily, we wouldn't have chosen. And there might not like, that doesn't mean there's no suffering involved, but we have a sense of there's the peace of God. His hand is upon this nation, and we don't ever want the Lord to remove his hand from the nation. We never want that. And I pray that that's not happening. I pray that the things that we're seeing is not God removing his hand, because we've said, you know what, God, I want my will. I want my way. I'm going to set up my government and my nation the way I want, you know, I, but that we would call to fall. The whole purpose for this is I'm submitting myself, saying, God, I don't want to lord over my life. I make a mess of my life. I need you. And so blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, getting humble before him, repenting and saying, Lord, forgive me for the ways I've taken my life in my own hands, my heart in my own hands. This nation, forgive us for making decisions in our own wisdom, our own will and desire. Lord, would you be Lord once again? And maybe we can even make a change by not necessarily the government deliberately saying that, but us interceding on behalf of them and saying, Lord, would you have mercy? Would you lead? Would you come? And would you have your hand on this nation once again, your mercy on this nation once again? Jesus's heart goes out to those. I forget which chapter it is in the Bible, but he said that he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And I feel like that's kind of the way that we are right now. We're like sheep without a shepherd. Yeah, we have leaders, and my heart goes out for them. We pray for our president. We pray for our governors, but we need the shepherd and overseer of our souls again. We need the Lord to be the Lord of this nation again.
So call to fall this Sunday, July the 5th at 4:00. Believers lining up on Main Street, social distancing, and crying out to the Lord on our knees. Desperate times, desperate measures. I hope you'll consider being part of it, being one of the individuals, or maybe ringing your church. We're here right now to encourage you, young people, and myself, with just this burden right now for our nation, all that is going on, and a burden for prayer. So call to fall, the vision is repentance, revival, and restoration. Praying for 1 hour, praying for personal repentance, repentance in the church, in the nation, praying for personal revival in the church and in the nation, and then praying for restoration personally, our cities, our communities, healing, and then even in our nation. So, Natalie, just personal repentance. What does that mean, personal repentance?
When I think of personal repentance, it's me humbling myself before the Lord, me saying, God, I need you. Forgive me for my sins. And it also brings me up to the verse Psalms 51:10, where it says, where David, right, was speaking to the Lord, where he said, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. But restore to me the joy of salvation. Sustain me with the willing spirit. And, you know, it says it completely. It's really saying, God, I need you. Be first in my life and forgive me if there's any wickedness. Help me to long for you. And just like David was saying, you know, create in me a pure heart, O God, and really asking him to give us clean hands and a pure heart.
Yes, so there you go, Psalm 51. David giving us a prayer after he really tripped up really bad. And God showed him grace and mercy and forgiveness. And yeah, his prayer really says it well, doesn't it? You know, create in me a clean heart, O God. Take not your Holy Spirit, you know. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. So Psalm 51 says it well. So personal repentance, and it's needed. But Brandon, I'd like to talk to you then about the church. And repentance in the church, what do you see? What does that mean, and what is the need right now in the church?
Well, I think it's really needed, for one. And, you know, I recently did, like, some studies on repentance, and it's, like, forsaking the sin completely, you know, and turning away from it. And it's hard because we stumble, we make mistakes, but it's even harder when, like, a pastor or something goes up and he asks for forgiveness from his congregation, you know? So it's just the way sin can just eat away at a church. So I think it's so important that there's repentance within the church, and it starts at the top, you know. But it's hard because, you know, we're in a tough place, and we need people to talk to, you know. We need people to come and confess to, you know. We confess to Jesus first, but that congregation needs to be supportive and helping you to overcome those things.
Amen. That says it well, Brandon. And So personal repentance, Psalm 51 says it well. The heart, seeing sin for what it is. And you're raising a hand, you got a point. Oh, Natalie, you're going to jump in. Yeah, go ahead.
It's also a change of heart, you know, because it's one thing to say, God, I'm sorry. And it's good to say I'm sorry, but really is following up with the action of it. And especially with those out there, and I know it's happened in my life where I was half-hearted with my apologies, and I wasn't even, you know, fully trying. I was like, God, I'm sorry. You can even say that to God. Say, God, I'm sorry for halfway trying or not really putting an effort into it or not really doing the actions behind it, right? Because we love the Lord, right? And we want to, so we say, God, forgive me, I'm sorry, and really follow up with that with a change of heart.
Yeah, amen. A change of heart, change of direction, change of life. And as you were mentioning, Brandon, it's the whole church. That's what's needed, you know. We talk about if my people will humble themselves and pray, right, and turn from their wicked ways. Solomon speaking of the nation, but then the nation was Israel. So the house of God was the nation. Now the church, you know, if my people. And you talk about the need to do that and it not taking it half-heartedly. We can profess things. But yeah, exactly. A change of heart, change of way, and then confessing one to another is the need for the body of Christ. James makes that promise that if we confess our faults one to another and pray for one another, that we may be healed. You know, there's healing that happens in the church when there's repentance, and we allow for that, as you've mentioned, and we encourage that, and we're there for one another, and we really create a culture of we want to turn to God, we fear God, and we want to repent. Call to Fall is an opportunity for you to gather with other believers on Main Street in Fitchburg on July 5th at 4 o'clock. And the heart of it is repentance, on our knees before God, looking at where this nation is going and all this that's going on, like Nehemiah, like Jeremiah, like Daniel. Lord, we see in our own hearts. We ask God that you would forgive us. Repentance starts right in our own heart. You're going to say something.
Yeah, and I think of repentance, like I've heard it once said that repentance is like agreeing with the Lord on how he sees your sin and how he views it. Even the most holy people throughout the Bible, like we see Isaiah in Isaiah 6, like he's a prophet, yet when he sees God in his holiness and on his throne and in his glory, he says, woe is me, I'm a man with unclean lips. And so that's the first point of repentance, is recognizing, like, it doesn't matter how much I try, how much good I've done in my life, my righteousness is seen as filthy rags before a holy God. And so repentance is recognizing and agreeing with God, everything that I've done falls short of your holiness and your perfection. And so none of us, not one of us, is exempt from this on Sunday when we come to Call to Fall, or in any point in any day of our lives, that we can be exempt from repentance, because it's every single day giving account. Lord, I fall short every single day, but your mercy, it heals my soul. It restores me. It gives me grace to get up and to walk in victory only by his mercy and his grace. But we all need to repent, because we've all fallen short. We are people of unclean lips, unclean hands, unclean hearts. He is holy, but he's also merciful, and we know he'll receive us.
So repentance personally, corporately, body of Christ, and then repentance as a nation. And Patrick, you got the microphone there. Repentance as a nation. What does it mean?
Well, repentance as a nation, we've been going through the book of Jonah. If I do recall the past few weeks as a church, and that is as a lot of the major prophets that we read about in the Old Testament as well, of preaching what the Lord has said, and sometimes under condemnation of a nation's wickedness. And it's all so that, not that they just get bashed on the head with their transgressions, but that they would come to repentance, that they would turn their way, as Brandon and Natalie have really eloquently described. And I'll mention this as well. So you brought up Psalm 51, and you read the restore to me the let's see here. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant a willing spirit to sustain me. Then verse 13 says, then it will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you. So I would say that, you know, this movement that we're starting here, you know, before we even get to July 5th, pray for personal repentance, because, you know, it starts, and this is where I made that political statement earlier of, like, it really starts with us, you know, it starts with us, and that 1,000% applies in this situation where we're going to be praying for this nation, and not just the nation, the infrastructure, the people, you know, and it starts with us. And our relationship to Christ, because it's only going to be Christ that does any of the growth, right? We could be seeding or watering, right, our fellow man, but it's going to be God that has that increase. And we're starting in prayer, and we want to be washed thoroughly from the iniquity of our sin, so that we come forth and that this would be morning, a revival. I know you're probably going to get there, but that's the ultimate goal of this, is to have God be the throne of our lives in person and as a nation.
Amen. Amen. So revival, Angelina, repentance, and then revival. What does personal revival mean?
Well, I think, you know, the word revival, it's like, you know, it's to make something alive again. And I think that first you have to recognize that maybe you've died in some ways and that you need to be alive again. And so, you know, we talk about, like, the water of the Word. We talk about the Holy Spirit and, you know, obviously prayer and fellowship. Those are all key things. But we can do those things as, like, a routine, or even as, like, a religious thing, having, like, a false sense of, I'm a really good Christian because I've been at, you know, prayer meeting, and I went to something else, or I was on a lot of Zoom prayer meetings or whatever. But then have a complete lack of just this one-on-one desperation before God, where we know that we need Him to fill us afresh every day with His Word, and that it comes alive to us. And so I think personal revival would be almost coming back to that place when you first came to Christ and you knew that you were lost without Him. You had nothing without Him. He's your only hope, your only Savior. And it affected everything. It affected every part of your life. And so asking God to have that fresh sense of, I belong to You. I'm Yours. I want to live for You. I want to just, again, do everything in a way that pleases You. I think having Him do that in your heart again and then following through on it.
Yeah, amen. Revival, just that heart of just newness with God, closeness to God, as you've mentioned. Like your first love, when you first gave your heart to God, in many instances, you know, getting back to that place. So revival, personal revival, the heart for the Lord, you know, something that was dead. That's what revival is. We were barely with a pulse, spiritually dried up. Personal revivals, when the Spirit of God overflows our life, we have this excitement and love for God. We're close to God. And how powerful when there's personal revival in our lives. I hope you know revival personally. I've had seasons in my life with just wonderful works of the Holy Spirit and just renewal and revival. So call to false praying about revival, but individually, but also then you get individuals experiencing revival. You get now a church, and then you get then a community, a nation. Powerful things happen. Powerful things happen in revival. And so Cana, we got personal revival. Let's speak about revival in our land.
Yeah, just like you said, that if we have personal revival and then church revival, that will obviously, there's so many believers, it will affect the whole nation. It will affect the world even. And I just wanted to share just that whole, like, how are we looking for revival? How are we seeking revival? Are we seeking it through revival services or pumped up worship music, or, you know, those things are great, or outreaches that we're trying to get this hype or this emotionalism, but yet we're missing, like, the actual concept or the center of that, the central one is Jesus. The Holy Spirit, his role is to point to Jesus. It's to point to the cross. It's to point to what he has done for us, God becoming flesh, coming to this earth. And that whole gospel message should be what drives us. It should be like the central point of our relationship with the Lord. That not just emotionalism, not just trying to work up something. True revival happens when you start falling in love with Jesus. When you start saying, Lord, like the cross, all of this, like this is going to affect the way I live my life because I'm so in love with you, returning to my first love. And so that's what I would say is if the church gets back to Jesus, not just these exciting hype events or these different things trying to bring emotionalism. If we get back to, I just want to love you, Jesus. I just want more of you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit is at the center of that. You're experiencing revival, and that will spread. That will change a nation.
So, call to fall, July the 5th, this Sunday in Fitchburg. Believers lining up on Main Street, different churches, different languages, different backgrounds. 4 o'clock for 1 hour. On our knees, desperate times, desperate measures. If you can't get on your knees, bad back, that's okay. You can stand, sit in the chair. But praying for revival. We need revival in America at this time, 2020. We need the work of God. We need the blessing of God. We need the mighty power of God in our nation. So revival in the church, revival in our lives individually in the church, and how that can impact our land. Well, call to fall is praying for repentance, praying for revival, and then praying for restoration. What can come when God revives, the healing that he can come. So, Brandon, I'd like to just, you know, thinking of you just sharing your personal restoration, personal healing. What does that mean?
Well, I would say the restoration in my life started definitely when people were praying for me. And then it led to me praying. And I came down to a really dark place. I was an addict, and I would take whatever I could. I would do any drug I could. And as I was even high, I would read the Bible, and I would cry out to the Lord. And I would say, Lord, do whatever you have to do. Just bring me back to you. And I prayed this for months while I was doing drugs. And one day the Lord answered my prayer in an unexpected way. I had gotten pulled over with a bunch of drugs in the car, and it had came out in the paper. My job read the paper. They fired me. Then DCF got involved, Child Services. They came to my house. They found some drug stuff at my house. So I was removed from the house. So now I lost my kids, I lost my job, and I was now homeless. But he answered my prayer, and he did it in such an amazing way, and I'm restored. You know, I have a sound mind, I have my kids back, and I have a job. I have more than what I had before.
Yeah, that's amazing, Brandon. And I was thinking all along, I was going to ask you the question about personal restoration, because you're an example of, I've witnessed what God did in your life and your family praying for you, and just the power of God, what he did in just transformative restoring your life. And that is just a testimony to the power of God. Call to fall, you know, we're there on Main Street crying out to God what God can do in our lives, what God can do as we pray for our nation, pray for our city, pray for our children, and so forth. So healing, restoration in a life, that's what God does. But Laura, I want you to just, your thoughts about our community, our city, our land. When you think of healing and restoration, what do you think of?
Absolutely. I just think of, we make plans, yet how much more can God do? And when you think of restoring something, it makes me think of like an old piece of furniture or an old building like we're in right now. We're in a big old mill building, and it was restored, and now how much greater it is than it was before, and how much God is using it. And that's the vision that I see for the people, for the land, for the nation, and how we can make our own plans, and we think maybe we'll do this, or we'll end up in this job, or we'll share the gospel this way, but yet God has his own plan. And if he restores us and makes us new and makes us even better than new, and how much more we can accomplish through him with that. So
amen. So you speak of restoration, even the image of a building and what happens in a building. Brandon, your life, people praying, crying out to God. Here you are on the stage, a young person following Christ, serving the Lord, a testimony to God's restoration. And all of us have some story. But as you mentioned, what God did to a building. You know, we moved into this building a long time ago. It was essentially abandoned, and this whole neighborhood, and God had us restore it, and we've been here a long time using it. We're in it right now, and now people have moved into the area, restored those buildings, and it's a picture, you know, it's a transformation, change, and what God needs to do and can get do in our nation, in the hearts of people, when there's repentance, and then there's revival that breaks forth, and then the healing and restoration in our land. That is the great need. So call to fall. Call to fall this Sunday. We had to postpone it because of a weather forecast last Sunday. This Sunday, 4 o'clock in Fitchburg on Main Street. Hope you'll come. Bring your pillow, your mat. We're going to get on our knees. If you can't get on your knees, bring your chair or stand. We're going to pray for 1 hour. We're going to pray for repentance, revival, and restoration personally, corporately, church, but also our nation. Here's a group of young people. This is a vision in the hearts of young people. You're a young people person watching, maybe a youth leader or whatever. Come and be part of this. Bring your friends. This is, look around what's going on in America. This is a time indeed to pray. So what I'd like to do here at the end is we encourage you with our heart about prayer, and these young people have shared their hearts with you about our nation and so forth. I'm going to give each one of you an opportunity just to exhort those that are watching this video clip right now or listening just about Call to Fall.
Yeah, I want to encourage you. The first thing would be to step out and just come. When you're doing that, you're saying, I recognize I need to come before the Lord humbly. I need to align to see as he sees, to see my sin as he sees, to see my need for revival, my need to return to my first love, the need for restoration in my nation. Just stepping out is recognizing that need, but then actually coming. I think of that verse the Lord put on my heart for this, Joel 2, or Haggai 2. Talking about how the Lord says, once more, I'll shake the nations. A little while, I'll shake the nations. And it says, paraphrasing, that it would, that we would come to the desire of all nations. And that desire, if you read into Spurgeon, is that Jesus Christ, he is the desire, that he'd become the desire again. And so you coming is just that first step, saying, I want more of Jesus. I want you to become the desire of my heart again. I want you to become the desire of this nation again, that the Lord would be the Lord of this nation again. And so just coming is that first step. It's not an event. It's not a posture. It's the posture of your heart. Are you coming expectant? Are you coming desiring the Lord? Are you coming desperate? So I encourage you to come.
Amen. And I just want to say, maybe you don't have a heart for this. Maybe this isn't something that you've been thinking about. Maybe you're consumed by just so much going on right now. Yet, think about what is going on and what there is such a need for this. And I would just encourage you to come out and allow God to create that desire in your heart, because prayer is one of the first steps to creating godly desires in our heart. So it's just such an opportunity to have a humble heart, to show humility just by kneeling and praying, just for our nation, for everything going on. So I encourage you, come on out if you can, and we'd love to see you.
Yeah, and you know, this isn't just another event. You know, this isn't like stale cookies and fruit punch, you know, in fellowship in that way, right? This is deep, right? This is something where we see so many movements and so many big questions, and the only answer that we can be certain of right now is prayer. And to do that with your brothers and sisters, regardless of who you are, where you came from, we are the body of Christ, and we want those numbers to be increased for his kingdom. Come out. If you're on the fence about it, if you're not sure, oh, it's great, but I'm not sure if I, you know, I don't know if that's something that I really am comfortable with, just do it. Just do it. You know, because there's so much that God could bless us with. And when I mean bless us with, I mean he could, you know, with his will in our lives and the lives of people around us in Fitchburg. You know, we want his will to be done, right, on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what this is all about. Come out, guys. It'd be a pleasure to meet you.
I would just like to encourage the people who maybe were going to come last week and it got canceled, so they were discouraged. It makes me think of 2 Samuel 12 when the prophet came to David about him having Uriah killed and having a child with Bathsheba. and the Lord had struck the child when it was born, and David humbled himself, and he fell on the ground, and he refused to eat, and he was crying out to the Lord in hopes that the Lord would relent. And it was such an amazing response. But it, even more amazing is after the child died, he got up, he anointed himself, and he went to the Lord's house and worshiped, and then he ate, and he was joyful. And I think our response should be, whether we were discouraged last week or whatever was going on, I think we should be showing up and humbling ourselves before the Lord.
Hey, everyone. If I can just encourage you guys to come on out. God might have a word for you, and you might be that broken person at home, and you've come to the end of yourself. Definitely come on out. God might have a word for you. I know that, and I've seen it in my life and my friend's life here. He makes beauty out of ashes, and he can transform your life. So I encourage you to come on out. Thank you.
Awesome. I love what everybody has shared, and I think that, you know, if we spend too much time on the internet, too much time maybe listening to our unsaved friends who are just discouraged, there's like so much depression and loneliness in our country. People don't have hope, but there is hope for all that call on the name of the Lord, and hope for salvation, your salvation, if you don't know Christ. But there is hope. You know, God, there are promises when we seek the Lord and humble ourselves before him. And so I encourage you, don't lose heart. There's hope when we call on the name of the Lord. You can do that right now yourself. Admit that you're a sinner, that you need the blood of Jesus and what he did for you on the cross. And then join us as a believer in Christ. Join us to call on the Lord to see what he might do as we seek him.
Call to Fall Fitchburg this Sunday, July the 5th, Fitchburg, Massachusetts. Meeting at 3 o'clock, 356 Broad Street. We're going to meet, and then we're going to walk down to Main Street, line up, social distancing, believers from different churches, backgrounds, languages. We're going to get on our knees, and we're going to cry out to God for 1 hour. Call to Fall, desperate times, desperate measures, asking for revival, asking in repentance and for revival, for restoration and healing in our land. I sure hope you can come. We hope to see you there this Sunday, July 5th, 4 o'clock. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for this special pre-recording of a panel discussion with young adults. We pray you are encouraged by this next generation and their heart for the Lord and passion for prayer. We also pray that you'll be able to join us on Main Street for Call to Fall this coming Sunday from 4 to 5 p.m. in Fitchburg, Massachusetts. For more information for Call to Fall, visit facebook.com/Horizon Fitchburg. Join us next time on Hope for the Hour. For recent episodes, visit renewfm.org.